Let's turn our Bibles to Psalm chapter 85. Psalm chapter 85, it's 13 verses. I'm going to go ahead and read the whole thing because I like it a lot. Psalm chapter 85, beginning in verse 1. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him. That glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. Now for me, this is pretty much a perfect psalm. Because I looked in here and I counted this. I may have made a mistake. But this is a psalm about God. Yeah. It's about the Lord and what he's done and what he's doing. The word the Lord is used 4 times. The word God is used 2. Thou, in reference to the Lord, is used 9 times. Thy, in reference to the Lord, is used 5 times. His and him, in reference to the Lord, is used 4 times. And as I read it, I realized I didn't count how many times the word thine is used. But it comes out about 25 times you have a reference to the Lord in 13 verses. This is a psalm about God. And this is what I want to know. This is who I want to know. And this is the Old Testament. God did everything in the Old Testament. And people will admit to that. But they won't admit to it that God does everything in the New Testament. But I have this to say, actually to quote, I am the Lord, I change not. Anything he did in the Old Testament, he's doing in the New Testament. But that's what I want to know, and that's what I need to know. I need to know about him. And I want to know about him. This psalm shows the source of all blessings. This psalm shows the source of all power. And this psalm is full of information about the Lord our God. Now, as far as the source of all blessing, it shows in the very first verse whose land it is. Now, if you look in the commentaries, what they'll tell you is that it's kind of funny to me, a little obvious. They said this psalm was written after the captivity, after the return. Well, it starts off verse 1, says, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Okay, I got that part. He's the one that sent them into that captivity. He's the one that brought them out of it. And he brought them out to his land. Now, there's a lot going on in the Middle East today. There's been a lot going on in the Middle East forever. Because it's his land. Now, I realize there was stuff going on when this happened in other places, but this is the area that the Lord chose for himself.
Right.
And this is the area with which he is concerned. Mm-hmm. And this is where he put his people.
Yeah.
And he revealed himself to them. This psalm shows to whom the land belongs. I still remember what Henry Mahan said, Walter, on that tape. He says, y'all don't own anything. Y'all don't even own land. You just pay taxes on it. The whole earth is the Lord's. But he calls this area his land. And it is special to him. But this psalm also shows, as the source of all blessings, who does the forgiving. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Balaam said it to Balak, that the Lord did not see the iniquity of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
He forgave it. Forgiveness is totally and completely up to God Almighty and no one else.
Amen.
Thou hast covered all their sin. This psalm shows who does the covering. And in the next verse, this psalm shows who does the turning. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Now, immediately, I think of the verse, and I have found out yesterday, Walter, I've been misquoting it for a long time. Turn us, and we shall be turned. Well, that's not exactly what it says. It's in Lamentations 5 and verse 21. You don't really have to turn there if you don't want to, but I'm just going to read it. Lamentations 5 and 21, it says, turn thou us unto thee. That's even better than what I've been misquoting. O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. Turn thou us unto thee. That's better. There's lots of people turn. There's lots of people turn. They'll turn from alcoholism. They'll turn from drug use. And I'm happy with Alcoholics Anonymous if it can help people get away from that.
Sure.
But that's not turning to God.
No.
And you can't turn to God of yourself.
Right.
No man can.
Right.
No man ever has. No man ever will. But if he turns you, turn us unto thee. O Lord, and we shall be turned.
Yeah.
And that's the only time we'll be turned. Paul wrote it. You have turned turned from idols to God. No, you've turned to God from idols. This is the source of the turning. The Lord God Almighty. If anyone is to be turned, he is going to be the one that turns them unto himself. And cause thine anger toward us to cease. The Lord is angry with the wicked every day. Romans 11:26 puts it this way. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. That's the prophecy. Christ is the fulfillment. The deliverer shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. How? By turning them unto himself. In Psalms 80, it's actually repeated three times in that psalm. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Three times the exact same verse. Turning is important. It's important. I read a little bit of it. I quote a little bit of it. I've got it down here. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. This psalm shows the source of all blessings. And this psalm shows the source of all power. Because it shows who brings, it shows who forgives, it shows who turns, it shows who has mercy. And it shows who grants salvation. And it shows, even though it doesn't say it, he's done whatsoever he hath pleased. Because our God is in the heavens. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Anytime anyone is brought, it's because of the power of God. The shepherd who had a lost sheep went out and found that particular sheep he was looking for. He picked it up, put it on his shoulders, and brought it back into the fold. That is the bringing into the fold. That is the bringing to God. And it is the power of God that does it. The power of Jesus Christ, who speaks, and it is so. Who speaks the name, because he calls his sheep by name, and they live. Who calls, and then they follow. And they follow because he leads them. It shows who forgives, it shows who turns, it shows who has mercy, and it shows That mercy is his. It's thy mercy. Verse 7, show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I looked up the word grant. Guess what? It means grant. It means give. It means add. It means apply. It means appoint. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is the gift of God. We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he has ordained before that we should walk in them. Salvation is granted to the people of God. I spent too much time yesterday, Walter. I spent 3 hours or so reading, which turned out to be a booklet. It was written in 1854. It was on by a guy named Francis Hodgson, which I knew the name for some reason. And sometimes when I know names, it's a good thing. Sometimes when I know names, it's a bad thing. Okay? But this book was on the Calvinistic doctrine of predestination, examined and refuted.
Yeah, you did
waste your time. Well, he had a pretty good description of me in the beginning. The Calvinistic people believe that everything happens according to and by the power of God. Every single thing. Yes, I do. He had me guilty, but he spent another 20 pages telling me what I thought. Because some people, evidently Calvinistic, supposedly, they try to deny this. That's not what they really believe. Well, that's what the Westminster Confession says. Yeah, I agree with it. I don't have a problem with that at all. Then came the refutation, which is what I was looking for, because I wanted to see just what his argument was going to be. And I read like the second paragraph, because he spent the first paragraph summing up what he said in the last 20 pages. And the second paragraph says, we're going to refute this using reason and scripture. And I was afraid, and I was right, that he was going to do it in that order. Reason and scripture. Now, then he said, we understand that the scripture is the final authority for everything. So we're not going to use that first. And he starts off with reason, saying that predestination does away with the free moral agency of man.
Yes. I'm glad it did.
Yeah. I'm going to say, I didn't know we had one. There's his premise on what he's building right there. That's where he started to build on what he was doing. Then see, oh, well, if that's, you know, if predestination is true, guess what? Walter, he spent 20 pages saying exactly what the Apostle Paul said he would say. Spent 20 pages saying, you will say unto me, why does he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? That's the way Paul put it in two sentences. This guy took 20 pages to say, well, no, you're doing away with sin because man's not responsible. You're doing away with this. And, you know, so there is no sin because everybody's following the will of God. It's like, no, who art thou, O man, that thou should repliest against God? That's the answer. Who do you think you are? And then the last 20 pages, he didn't get to refuting it through the scripture either, because I was looking forward to that, and I didn't get it anyway. So, yes, I did waste my time. That was over 100 years ago. And that guy's dead, so he knows better now. It's thy mercy and it's thy salvation. And when those Jews were taken into captivity, those Jews were brought out of captivity. They went in by the power of God. They came out by the power of God.
Yeah. Amen.
And God required the punishment of those who sinned against his people. Anyway, they were doing what they wanted to do. They're happy doing what they wanted to do. And God purposed for that captivity to happen. And he purposed also for that captivity to end. And he purposed to forgive the iniquity of his people. He purposed to cover their sins. He purposed to turn them to himself. And he purposed to cease his anger toward them. And he purposed to give them mercy. And he purposed to give them his salvation. I like this. Turn us, O God, of our salvation. Guess what? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. If our salvation is not thy salvation, it's not salvation. Because there is only one salvation. Our salvation is thy salvation. Thy salvation is our salvation. It's actually a better way to put it.
Yeah.
Thy mercy, thy salvation. I will hear what the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. The Lord delivers his people. The Lord brings his people. The Lord forgives his people. The Lord covers his people. The Lord turns his people. The Lord causes his anger to cease toward them. The Lord shows mercy to his people. The Lord grants his salvation to his people. And the Lord will speak peace unto his people, his saints. That sounds like he provides pretty much everything. Yeah, he does. Because if he didn't, I wouldn't have it. And if he does, I do have it. And if he does, you do have it. If he's given it to you. Granted salvation. Shows us mercy. The Lord provides all of the deliverance that his people need. Every bit of it. The Lord has blessed us all with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. This is the verse this fellow used at the beginning of this book I was reading. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. That's the truth. and nothing but the truth. Beginning before that, it says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's what he gives us. We don't earn it. We don't merit it. We need it. I want it. He gives it to his people. Why? To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in Christ. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights and comes to his people through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 10, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. In Christ. Proverbs 16 verse 6 puts it this way, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Who has by himself purged our iniquity? Jesus Christ. Who is our righteousness? Jesus Christ. Who is our peace? Jesus Christ. Who saved his people from their sins? Jesus Christ. Who grants, gives life, faith, light, love, truth, and holiness? Jesus Christ. Who has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption? Jesus Christ. Period. Exclamation point. Because he is everything. And he is everything to and for his people. And he gives. Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. I like this psalm because it shows the truth about the Lord God Almighty. And it shows the truth about Jesus Christ. Mercy and truth are met together in him. Righteousness and peace have kissed in him. I can't not see the Lord Jesus Christ in this psalm. And then many others. I mean, there's a bunch of them. And generally, if I don't see it in there, the problem's with me. Not with the scripture. The problem's with me. But here in this one, it's plain. The Lord brings. The Lord gives. The Lord forgives. The Lord covers. The Lord shows mercy. The Lord grants salvation. It's all in there. And it's all for every single one of his people whom he has chosen from before the foundation of the world. Salvation is of the Lord, but it is his gift to us, and we have it right now if we know him, if he's revealed himself to us, if he's given us life and faith. We do have this salvation right now and more to come. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time, this place. But we're thankful most of all for your Son, our Lord, who has given us all things and is giving us more. And we wait for his return, for our departure. And we pray and try to praise and thank you for your Son, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.